All right. Welcome to episode 292 of Extra Features. Simon is being silent this episode, so he'll be doing all his reviews in mime. I am Doug.
I am Daniel. And I would also like to be a mime.
You being a mime would be funny. And I am Simon. I am miming all my answers, but I will, just for the people not watching the video, also do a verbal one afterwards. I'll do like an ADR after, so it's everybody's got up to date.
But yeah, I sounds feel like good. You mime more when other people are talking to make sure we know how you feel about a film.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think that gives a good impression. So I'm prepping you guys, like warming you up for me.
Buttering us up.
Yes.
Buttering up my anger when you roll your eyes.
I would never do that to anyone. That would be wrong.
It would be un-Simon, like.
Since Daniel never leaves the house other than to pretend he has his job, which I've never seen a photo of him in uniform. So far it's unproven that he has a new job, because I don't believe him.
I have three shirts, but I don't know if.
I've not seen one of them ever. So until something shows up, you are still at home.
How about a pay stub? Would a pay stub work?
No, I want the shirt.
I will send a picture of a shirt on text.
Now, so where I'm going here is, Doug, you're the only one of us that gets to leave the house and have an outing.
Yes. Well, my oldest son, Owen, who was a guest on the year wrap-up, favorite films of the year episode, he turned 18 this past week. And what he wanted to do was go into the city, Manhattan, to see Daniel Craig perform as Macbeth on Broadway. So that's what we did. We had a fancy dinner in the city, and then we went to go see the Scottish play starring the English Bond.
So I gotta ask, how is he at Shakespeare?
He's actually very good. I was not as sold at his performance as the rest of my family was during the first half. But to me, he really brought it home in the second half and was just amazing. My entire family liked him, his performance better than Denzel's this year. So,
wow.
If that says anything.
So my question is, Tina's really into, as we know and discussed on the show, into ghosts and folklore and stuff like that. Now, did she think the three witches were done well?
Yes. The witches, they were not done with makeup or anything like that. They were just four regular-looking humans who, in this interpretation, worked in a kitchen, so they were chefs over their cauldron. So it was more a modern interpretation of Macbeth.
Fair enough. So we can ask now, Mr. Prynne, have you been anywhere exciting besides Sobeys?
I was also going to add that for podcast listeners, Simon, the Simon miming tally is at one. And you were like, oh, yeah, like, the thumbs up.
See, that must have been subtle. I'm just warming up, like I said. You can't count those things.
Must have been scuttle?
It must have been scuttle. So have you been anywhere besides Sobeys? Because I haven't seen anything on social media from you lately.
No, I have fallen out of the social media lately. I'd like to get back into it. Usually I live tweet the Oscars. Or like at least like be like, hey, congrats, but I've kind of fallen out of it the last couple of years. So this year was kind of an interesting one to not tweet about with the whole slap, right?
But, I watched it live. I was quite up to date on it.
It was funny because I know we've talked about it a lot, but when that happened, I was kind of just on my computer, and then I noticed the sound cut out and was like, wait, what's happening? So that was quite fun. But yeah, I have not, I've just been working. Got a Costco membership, got some stuffed peppers that are pretty good. So I've had those for lunch the past couple of days. Yeah. And I got, they have the pizza they have there. It's four medium pizzas for $16. They frozen pizza.
Well stocked on pizza.
Yes.
Nice. Oh,
fair enough. Have we consumed any films lately, guys, or we're here to discuss our outings?
I don't know. You want to burst that bubble and get into discussions?
Yeah, let's do that. Bursting that bubble with those great thespian cast.
Yes, the great ensemble bubble. The Bubble, directed by Judd Apatow, written by Judd Apatow and Pam Brady, starring Harry Travelman, Samson Kayo, Peter Serafinowicz, Karen Gillan, Gus Kahn, Maria Balakova, Leslie Mann, David Duchovny, Iris Apatow, Pedro Pascal, Keegan-Michael Key, Alan Hopper, Fred Armisen, and Kate McKinnon.
Lots of people.
The most random ensemble ever.
I'll kick it off because I think I'm going to have the minority opinion on this one. I'm just guessing. But I actually had a really good time with this movie. I'm a big fan of Karen Gillan, so if she's leading the ensemble, I'm all for that. I love David Duchovny. I love it when he doesn't take himself seriously. Peter Serafinowicz, he's a big favorite in this household. But the person who actually stole the movie for me was Pedro Pascal. I thought he was really funny in this film. It wasn't deep. It wasn't trying to tell a deep personal story like Apatow's last few films. This was really just Judd Apatow having fun, just making a goofy comedy again. And I really liked it. I wasn't expecting anything deep. I didn't get anything deep. And the two scenes with the TikTok dances, I loved them. I thought it was a lot of fun. And now I'm waiting to hear how I'm wrong.
I would never tell you you're wrong. Daniel will be wrong, guaranteed, whatever he has to say. But we're going to let him go next so I can think.
I thought you were going to say Daniel can tell you that you're wrong. But no. Oh, there was the miming again. But no, I will give you Pedro Pascal. The fucking... that one line that he has, I don't watch my own stuff, like take a shit, flush it, you're done. I thought that was actually kind of funny.
I think that's my philosophy.
Yeah. Don't have to watch what you do. But yeah, I did not think this was that funny. Maybe if it was an hour 20, it could have been tolerable, but the only imprint of Apatow that I felt was that it's over 2 hours and it never really felt like it was ever going to end. Cause it's kind of just sketch comedy, kind of like This Is Us. And it almost felt like movie 43 at times, but it's just,
I liked movie 43.
Okay. So you're the minority.
I am the one person that liked movie 43.
So you're the one person they made it for.
I was.
Oh, Simon's going
to
like this.
I'm hard to please. Yeah. Said loved it. Said liked it.
I didn't say love either. I said, "Oh, Simon's gonna like this." Mm-hmm. But no, I did not. I did not like The Bubble. It just felt way too long. I felt that the cast felt so random. I feel like the only one unscathed here was Maud Apatow, because for some reason they're like, "Oh, hey, let's give Iris the role this time." As the TikTok star. And I didn't think she did a bad job though, but just in the satire in the movies, like her acting was bad, but if you think about it, it's good because she's just a shitty TikTok actress who's trying to be like satire of Addison Rae in He's All That or whatever. Just like, oh, what if a social media star got a movie or was included in the movie? And then, I just didn't care how it just kept going and going with like Karen Gillan wanting to
leave.
Like just, yeah, wanting to leave and just how they had to keep extending the shoot. But one thing I did find kind of funny was Fred Armisen saying that he directed his first film while working at Home Depot. So I thought that was kind of funny.
You could direct your first movie at your current job.
I don't have enough time to even watch movies.
I noticed. So continue on Doug's point. Cass, why do I have to put up with Leslie Mann ever again? There's a reason why Hollywood did not come calling. I've seen why. Numerous times. I'm done. Go away. Please go away. You're terrible. You're lucky your husband's a director or you would not work at all. Mud. Appetite. Solid. That's nothing to do. Perfect. She has TikTok dances. She gets busted for partying. Perfect. Role works. Iris. What did I say? Maud, the other kid? Yeah. She's have two kids? Whatever.
Yeah, Maud was, I think Maud was doing, what's that show with Zendaya?
Okay. Back we go. Kieran Gillen's excellent. I love Kieran Gillen, but I really think she's just becomes very repetitious as the plot goes on. I got it, Kieran. I got it. Let's go do something else. Nope. Right back to doing the same thing. I want to just leave. I've had enough. I did really like the scene where they have all the people talking to each other about the movie, and they keep going to somebody else, and it keeps going to the guy who yells at the director of the studio. He goes, hey, you want to play tennis? Hey, I'll be here in a minute. I thought that was great. David Duchovny is fabulous in this. No issues, David Duchovny. He gets it. Fred Armisen, I'm like, I don't know what to do with him. I don't know if I'm supposed to get it or not get it. I had problems with it. I just found Patrick Purcell was great, but again, repetitious. He keeps doing that same plot point over and over and over again. And I feel bad for Michael K. Peele. I really feel that nobody's found a good use for him.
I think Michael K. Peele.
Excellent. Michael Key?
Keegan Michael Key. You just kind of combined Key and Peele.
You know what I meant. Michael Key, whatever. He's good. I just don't think he's found a role that works for him or a film that really can use his talents. I think I like the helicopter scene. I thought that was really good. I thought that's what he's good on. Use him as a straight man that can do comedy. And I really think that's what they use him. I just found this film very repetitious. It kept running on and on. I'm like, I'm getting bored. Let's go. Let's
get to the end. Isn't that every Judd Apatow
movie? That's the problem with a lot of Judd. We need half an hour less in the bubble, and I probably would like this. I just found it too long. I did like the two people that were in the dinosaur costumes and kept having comments to each other. I thought that was really good comedy. But again, if we cut a little bit of the Patrick Pascal, cut a little bit of the Kieran Gillen whining, oh, woe is me, I'm making too much money, I think this film would have worked. And any scene with Leslie Mann could have gone too, and I would have been fine. So maybe. I think the bubble is mildly somewhat recommendable, but not great.
And maybe the cult leader, the whole cult thing with Keegan-Michael Key could have been cut too.
Oh, that was terrible. He goes, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, oh, man. Why don't we put Mike Myers in there? He could be the love guru. He could bring that character back.
You know what? I probably would have liked this movie a bit more.
Of course. You probably like the love guru with John Oliver. Oh, I can tell you John Oliver's story.
I mean, how old was I when that came out? I was like 14, so I was the target audience when it came out.
And?
I liked it.
Okay. So the love guru came out. 2 weeks later, I ran into John Oliver doing a Just for Laughs in Toronto. So I give him an 8x10, and he goes, Love Guru, right? I'm like, yeah, that's from the Love Guru. He goes, what'd you think of it? I said, he goes, no, tell me the truth. I go, it's really bad. He goes, good, I think so too. And sighed and wandered in. But he was very nice. But he knew I did not want to answer the question.
Who did he play in the Love Guru?
Somebody. He's in it.
Oh. Was he the? I have no idea.
I can't remember. Okay. I just remember that John Oliver. I told you, I've mixed in stories for you every once in a while.
Thank you. I just know John Oliver mostly from Community.
I've never seen an episode of Community. I'm sure I'm missing something, but I still haven't finished Squid Game.
Ah. Damn.
But I like it.
Good.
So I guess we're going from a movie about people in a bubble who want to exit the bubble, but there is no exit.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ooh, no exit. Who's up? Is it no, you?
No exit. Number one? No exit. Directed by Damien Power. Written by Andrew Byrne. Gabriel Ferry and Taylor Adams, starring Havana Rose Liu, Danny Ramirez, Dennis Habert, David Reisdahl, Dale Dickey, and Myla Harris. Do you want to go first, Mr. Mime?
Yeah, I'll go first. Wonderful. Absolutely, somebody gets a one location right. This is how you film a one location survival horror. Absolutely, characters are believable. Check. Reason they can't escape from here. Check off. Everybody has an issue. Check. Have no idea what's going on for the first 40 minutes. Trying to figure everything out. Check. Good dialogue. Well casted. Last half an hour is pretty much a straight survival horror, but I'm fine with that. I think it works perfectly. I liked everything about this film. I think the reason they're there, I think the characters' interaction works. My only problem is I don't think they had the budget at times to do everything they wanted to do, which kind of bugged me. I wanted a little bit more money and maybe a little bit more depth. I kind of felt the conflict was a little too easy resolved when the surprise shows up. I was kind of like, that was given to me a little bit too early. I think they could have held on a little bit longer. And I think it was too easy for her to see what was in the truck. I think all that could give me another little bit more work to get to those big surprises. Because they seem to give you surprise, surprise, surprise really quick. And I think if they had just let it, want us to want that surprise, show us that truck, go back into the location, and make us think, what is in that truck? They don't really let us think that long. Mm-hmm. And I mean, maybe they could have edited it differently and then have her go back out. I would have accepted a bit more, let her brain work, and let our brain work instead of giving it to us. And then giving us that big surprise, I thought was a little bit too early. But I really liked this film. It was quite a shock how much I enjoyed it. For something I thought I was just going to, blah, this is going to suck. Love No Exit. Really enjoyed it.
Now, for someone like you who does not learn anything about a movie before going in, like, where did you think it was going? What did you think would be in the...
I had no idea. I had not a clue. I had no idea. I thought originally there was going to be extra people showing up to come after that girl. One that was leaving. Remember, she escapes off the beginning.
So you thought the rehab people were going to come get her?
I thought, yeah, for sure. I thought the rehab people were coming. And I thought that's where the film was going. She was going to escape. People were going to grab her and bring her back. And something was going to happen with the snowstorm. Totally didn't see this plot that originated. I go, this is good. I had no idea that this is where the film was going at any time. Until they gave me that reveal, I thought 5 to 7 minutes too early. I wanted them to drag that out a bit longer, and it would have worked much harder. I think they got to make me want that. You know what I mean? If they're going to move a Jason mask, I want that mask off. But I want to wait for the girls to get the mask off. I don't want to give it to me quickly. Like Silence of the Lambs, you want to meet Buffalo Bill. But you want it to wait. That film makes you wait for those reveals in that film. It gives it to you, then pulls it away and goes off and does something else for 10 minutes and comes back. That's what this film didn't have the time to do or the budget, which kind of bugged me.
Yeah.
So maybe, I think it's excellent. I think No Exit is good.
Or maybe the depth to go away, like, you know. But, yeah, I guess for people who know what's coming and know, like, the source material.
You did?
Or, well, I mean, I just generally look up plots before. Like, I just, the synopsis, like, the log line. I don't know much about the movie other than the log line, other than, yeah. So, snowstorm finds a kidnapped kid. And I knew when I was doing research for just an article, like, streaming article of what's coming. So, and I know it's based on a book, so that's why I knew that.
So you knew the plot?
I knew the general setup of the plot.
That would have bugged me. That would have ruined the movie right there.
Oh, no. Snowstorm finds a kid in a van. I don't mind knowing that.
See, I didn't know about the kid in the van, and that was a good surprise for me.
Okay. But see, like, the twist, since it's a twist to you, but nobody else. Because generally people like to, generally it would be spoiled in the log line.
Doug, did you read the log line for this film?
Yeah, I had seen the trailer, so I knew what
so
it was.
So you knew there was a kid in the van too?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm the only one who went in cold on this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So
I probably got more out of it than you guys, because I went in cold.
You probably go in the coldest of out of anyone alive. You're like, I don't even want to know who's in this movie.
Even colder than that girl in
the
band.
I didn't know. I always get excited when Dennis Abrams shows. I'm like, yes. Yeah. No, I'm currently going to watch a movie called Duel coming up, but I know Karen Gillan's in it. It's the only thing I know about it. I know it's about cloning.
I really want to see that.
So that's what I'm next.
Okay.
But I mean, I only know that because literally I was listening to a podcast and they told me.
Yeah.
And I was annoyed that they went into that much detail.
Oh, okay. So that makes sense.
Go ahead, guys. Go.
That one time you read my review of Adrift and you were like, oh, this spoils way too much, even though I had no spoilers at all. So you just consider everything a spoiler. Okay. But no, I like these kind of thrillers. I liked Havana Rosalieu in the lead role. I feel like she's relatively new. I saw her in a movie called Mayday before, which it wasn't a great movie, but she was pretty good. So I always like new faces, seeing new faces having lead roles, and I thought she did well with it. The anxiety of the movie is good. I like these kinds of, you know, like I said, I like these kinds of thrillers. Like, I was excited to see this because it reminded me of Identity, which I love. So I just, one location thriller with snowstorm, a kid in a van. It's a great setup. And I do think maybe they show it within the first 30 minutes. So maybe it does jump the gun a little bit, which I think is fair because people have seen the trailer. It's like, okay, when are we getting to the kid in the van? When are we actually getting into the movie? But there's the way they're still able to show some twists, I thought was pretty good. I feel like I saw the first twist coming with the just, since there's not a lot of people, there's only four others in the cabin or the lodge. I feel like maybe if there were more people, I feel like there would have been a better balance, maybe a little bit less predictability. Maybe just give it a better, because I think Identity had 7 or 8 characters. Even another character, another ensemble person of the ensemble, I think that could have made it a bit better, maybe for pace. But in general, I thought this was pretty good. Like the use of the nail gun, I thought that was kind of neat.
I love nail guns.
I know, right? They're great, and I always love them as a weapon. And yeah, I don't know. This probably won't like be on my top of the year or anything, but I like it.
Nor should it be.
No. It's good. I mean, it's Hulu original, right?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
it means they bought it off somebody. That's really, it's not like they produced it.
I think I'm a little cooler on this film than you guys. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was that great.
Is that a pun, Doug?
It might have been. I don't know if it was intentional or not. My brain is not at peak performance right now, but I think it threw away one of the twists too quickly. As soon as you found out who the driver of the van was, they immediately gave away a second twist right then when the kidnap victim mentions, "What about the other one?" And so, you know, there's a second, and then they tell you who the second is right away. The final twist at the end, that was pretty interesting to me. I kind of liked that. But then from that point on, it just turned into a straight action film. You had the nail gun through the hand and having to get out of that. That felt like something out of a John McClane film. I was expecting, you know, I don't know, Al being out there at the end on the radio. But it was good for what it was, but it's not high on my recommendation list. I'm not sure I'd recommend it to anybody to see unless there was absolutely nothing else on to watch.
Okay.
Hold on. I'd recommend this over the bubble in a heartbeat.
Oh, the bubble, shit. So, yeah.
I would recommend the bubble over it. I think the bubble at least has more recognizable names, funny moments. Who else besides huge film nerds are going to recognize the name Dale Dickey and be like, oh, right. Yeah, she was this great character actress that was in what have I seen? Just about
Gone, Baby Gone?
Yeah, or Breaking Bad she was in. Who else aside from big nerds is going to know that? At least with the bubble, you could say David Duchovny. You could say Pedro Pascal. You could say Karen Gillan. You got a lot of names.
Yeah, look, Josh Apatow has money behind him. Watch another 2-hour-and-12 movie that's too bloated. Yeah, I can't wait.
I'd watch the bubble over King of Staten Island.
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. Give me King of Staten
Island. Marissa Tomei wins on hands down. Marissa Tomei. Trump that.
Aunt May.
So you're just making me want to flee is what you're doing.
Oh, yes, I am.
I like it. Flee, directed by Jonas Bahar Rasmussen, written by Rasmussen and Amin Nawabi. A documentary and animated film. And this was what I predicted for best documentary feature. But I lost.
Yes. I will say, I'm not sure it should have won Best Documentary, but I would take this 100 times over Encanto. but I would also take Mitchell's versus Machines over Encanto. So basically anything other than Encanto.
Like an actual original idea without songs that has a pig, dog, loaf of bread? Come on, yes. Stupid Academy.
But the what Flea. You're saying is, like, fuck Encanto.
Kind of, without actually saying it, but yeah.
Okay, I got you. I'll say it.
I will say, this movie was harrowing to watch. At the very beginning, Amin says, you know, his one sister was kidnapped by the Mujahideen. His other sister, I forget what he said, happened to her. His brother was conscripted into the army and died. It was just harrowing to hear this story. And then now I'm going to spoil it in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There's a line later on where he says, oh yeah, my sister's made it into Sweden to be with my older brother. And I was like, wait, what? And just his entire story of having to go through Russia to Sweden. And then with stops in Denmark, it was harrowing. And the story that he had to tell because the human traffickers told him that's what he had to do to stay alive. And it's just so ingrained in his being that he sticks to that lie and even starts off this entire documentary based on that lie. It was just... I don't know. It just hit me really hard. And maybe the fact that it was animated actually made it easier to watch, easier to sit through. But I absolutely loved this story. And I felt so happy at the end when his family accepted him as a gay man. And then that he actually got together and married his partner at the end. Such a harrowing story, but the ending was so uplifting to me. I loved this film. I loved everything about it.
Wow, that's very cute. You loved everything about it. Okay, let's try. I think this guy's story is phenomenal. I don't want to take away from the story. I hated the animation. It really, really bugged me at times. The animation just, it was bugging me. It wasn't his story. But I have some questions. Maybe some of you guys can help me. He's not narrating this thing. It's somebody narrating it for him, right?
No, he's narrating.
This is the actual guy's story.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering Amin. That basic concept. I didn't know if, obviously his name's not Amin, right? Because he's got to hide him all the time. That's what I figured.
No, I'm pretty sure he is Amon, and that's his story.
Okay, because I was trying to figure out where all the, like, I mean, I understand. I was trying to figure out, did he really go through Russia, or is that fake too? Like, is any of this fake, or is this, I supposed to take this as biography? Autobiography. Do you see what I'm saying? Because he seems to be very trying not to say some things and talk about certain things. So I want to know if everything was changed.
I think, well, he starts off by telling the lie. He's telling the lie about his sisters and his brother and his mother and all that. But eventually it does come out the truth that, you know, they are still alive, but they are spread out across the world.
Right. Okay. I was going to say, this story is harrowing. Oh, my God. The amount of work that one brother in Sweden had to do for all these people to get his whole family into Sweden or Denmark, wherever they ended up. I did really like at times, I liked his voice, how he was calm, and how I liked how he kept doling it out. I didn't really enjoy the pacing on this film. I thought the pacing was very well done. I mean, I really thought the mom was dead. If they told me the mom had died, I would have said, yep, I believe that. She got out. I was shocked when the mom and the other brother got out and things like that. I did like when they opened the McDonald's. I thought that was kind of neat when he said, we have to get out of the house. We have to do this. We have to do that. And it really painted a picture of Russia, I guess, I never really believed at times. But obviously it's true. Why would he lie? I don't think he has anything to gain about lying about this.
I did look it up. He wrote it. That is not him narrating.
Okay, that's what I would figure, because
he did write the film, but he wasn't one of the narrators.
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. I did love the scene, as you did, when he came out to his family and they said, we always knew. I thought that was great.
Yes.
But I like the scene with the boy, when he's with the other guy, he's with the boy or in the car, and he gives him the necklace.
The necklace.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was very well done. I love the scene when he's with his boyfriend and they're looking at houses and this and that. And he says, look, I got to go to America. And that kind of hurt me a bit. Like, wow, he really wants to do what he wants to do. He wants to succeed first and be something with himself, which I thought was amazing for him. And things like that. I just got to the point that once we knew everybody was pretty much good, I kind of got a little, I was done with it. Does that make sense? Like the last 20 minutes, I just felt I didn't need.
Kind of.
I understand how to make an hour and a half film. They needed that 20 minutes to fill it out. But I really don't think a story filled the whole time, I guess. I mean, it was interesting, but it just didn't need to be that long.
Well, I think the last 20 minutes go into the fact where he talks about how he feels he has to make something of himself because his older brother sacrificed so much for the family. So he feels he has to make something of himself so he can help provide for the family and maybe lift some of the burden off of his older brother. So I kind of see where the last 20 minutes were going with that.
Yeah, I agree, but I just went, okay. Yeah, the animation was really just my biggest flaw with it, with the animation, and kind of the, I wanted a little bit more streamlined, and it was a lot of flopping back and forth, and maybe there's some stuff that they left out, so maybe there's some more interesting points. I would love to know what's happened to his father, but nobody's going to know. He got shot or something. I think we pretty much have to understand he was killed. I don't think he would just abandon his family from the way we understood about the fellow. But I like to wish that maybe his brother could put in something, his sister could put in something about their experience, or how his brother and mom got there. It just sort of met, oh, they made it. Well, how'd they make it? I was kind of more interested in those parts I didn't know.
I get like that.
I want a little bit more of that. I'm being nitpicky. I mean, this film is wonderful. It flows well. Don't get me wrong. I was just nitpicky because the last 20 minutes I felt could have been spent giving me a few lines on their story. Like saying, hey, yeah, my mom and dad, my mom and brother made it. They went this way through. And that was more interesting. And I want to know a little bit more how he got out of customs. Because they kind of just talk about customs, then he's out of there. Like immigration?
Yeah, I think they just, because he was asking for asylum. Right. So I guess it's just, I think they were in Denmark. I guess they just have a streamlined system where you just tell your story and then he ends up, I guess, in a foster home or whatever. Or
who knows? We have no idea. Yeah. That's what I meant. I mean, I'm being fussy here. Just me wanting a few more details on a few things.
Okay. I get that.
I liked your spoiler countdown earlier, Doug.
Well, because to me, it was a pretty big spoiler. So okay. I had to warn people.
What's that mime tally for Simon for the listeners at home? He did a countdown bomb. Oh, and he did it again. I'll be your sound. Do it again, Simon. I'll be your sound effect. Oh. Break it. Break it.
So,
are you guys ready to fly?
Did you go to school for that?
I did.
So I guess we're going from Flea to Fly.
Did you speak to Ando about Flea to Fly?
I did not watch it.
Oh, you passed.
No, yeah, I mean, I voted for that one for the win for the documentary, but I did not have enough time to watch it on my days off.
Very upsetting.
I know. The Fly, directed by David Cronenberg, written by Cronenberg and Charles Edward Pogue, based on the short story by George Langland, starring Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis, John Getz, Leslie Carlson, and Joy Bushel. I saw this years ago, but I did not watch it again because I thought it was gross the first time, and I was like, I've made the sacrifice watching Texas Chainsaw again, so I felt like that was enough.
See, you say gross. I say Gina Davis and Jeff Goldblum have never looked better on film. Oh, but okay. That's just my opinion. But I'm not going to lie. I picked this movie because I know Simon says he hasn't seen it. And
I had not seen it.
And being David Cronenberg is, at least to me, one of the most famous Canadian filmmakers. I felt it was Simon's duty as a Canadian.
He is the most
Canada.
Canada.
But I got to say, I watched this again, and I absolutely loved it. Like I said, Jeff Goldblum has never been better looking in a film. He was just magnetic in this. I could easily see how Gina Davis's reporter can fall for this guy. He's a genius. He's good looking. He's smooth talking. And he figured out how to teleport stuff. But like all mad scientist movies, it's his hubris that does him in. And he has to test it out on himself. Damn the consequences and damn that fly that's in there. The makeup effects in this movie, especially the last 20 minutes to half an hour, are absolutely incredible. They're right up there with John Carpenter's The Thing in creature effects. It's a simple story, but beautifully told, very well acted. I love this movie.
Simon, were you miming titty tassels on your head?
So, do I pick up where Doug left off? Because Daniel's going on about titty tassels, so he looks a little flush. Doug, thank you for making me watch this. I was watching this, riveted. Literally could not stop watching this. This movie is amazing. I have to press on more Fly Love. Don't know why I never saw this film. I have no clue. I never sat down and watched it. Even with all the praise, everybody told me, you've never seen The Fly. It's so good. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it is. Never. Wow. I have to give you the chemistry between Davis and Jeff Goldblum. Phenomenal. Absolutely perfect chemistry to film.
Well, they were in a real relationship at the time.
You can see that. It was there. But I love the crazy ex-boyfriend. I really thought that working that in the plot allowed this film to have depth it wouldn't have had otherwise. I think with him in there and Gina having to deal with him and Jeff going to talk to his guy, I did think it added a lot more depth to what they were doing in the film. And you could tell they had no money for this film. Because, I mean, it's funny because that building where they shoot at, I used to deliver the mail at that years ago. I'm like, I know that building. I've been there. I know that stairwell well. I'm sure it's probably one of hundreds of stairwells that all look the same back then. But this film, the last half an hour, is just, you can't turn it off. Like, you have to finish this. When he turns into the fly and starts breaking down, I was like, that is sickly good. Even now, I think that looks good. And Cronenberg is a genius in those shots. He just doesn't move it. Literally, he will not give you a break in the last half an hour. The intensity level, when you hear Goldblum, but you're looking at the creature, and the horror on Davis's face is just incredible. And the guy reaching for the gun, I mean, there's what I'm talking about. When no exit blows that scene, the fly gets exactly that scene right. They make you wait for that shotgun shot. Wait for it. You know it's coming. They've showed you the gun. They showed you the guy getting knocked out. You know it's coming. But they don't give it to you when you want it, do they? He makes you wait and wait and wait to the point that you're like, fuck! Boom! I'm like, you win. That film is a beautiful film. Chemistry is amazing. The dialogue's amazing. It's depth. Phenomenal. Thank you, Doug.
Oh, and I just got to say, I love the practical effects of when...
Oh, my God.
When he's vomiting on the guy's leg and you see the leg disintegrate. Oh, it's... I hate to say it's gorgeous, but it's gorgeous.
No, this film looks good today. Yeah. And I think he uses what limited budget he has. I mean, obviously, all the budget went to the special effects.
Yeah.
I mean, but it looks good. I even liked when she's shopping for coats and the ex-boyfriend. I thought that scene worked so well because it was so believable. Cronenberg makes all these characters real to me. I can see this happening right now. I really believe there's a scientist somewhere doing this after watching this film. There's nothing wasted.
Yes, and
Cronenberg. I don't know what The Fly 2 looks like. I will have to watch The Fly 2 now.
Cronenberg doesn't really have anything to do with that.
I know, but I still have to watch
Eric Stoltz in the lead, so just set your expectations at a reasonable
below bubble level.
Yes. But Cronenberg's coming back this year with Crimes of the Future, which looks to be another body horror. Oh, I can't wait for it.
Daniel, did you rewatch this or want to talk about it?
No, I didn't rewatch it. I think I watched it last when I was like 16. So I'll give it another watch.
Yeah, so you're done. Move along.
So I guess you're saying that Daniel is dead again?
I am.
I'm offended. Dead Again, directed by Kenneth Branagh, written by Scott Frank, starring Kenneth Branagh, Emma Thompson, Andy Garcia, Lois Hall, Richard Easton, Robin Williams, and Wayne Knight.
Yes. And apparently this movie has an important part in my relationship with my wife, which I completely forgot. I had noticed that my wife had a picture of Kenneth Branagh in her locker in high school. And so I said, oh, we should watch my favorite Kenneth Branagh film, Dead Again. So it was apparently after we watched that movie that I kissed her for the first time. So
hold on. Did your wife tell you this?
Yes, we watched it when I watched this movie again for the podcast. She watched it with me and she's like, you don't remember that, do you? I said, nope.
That's funny.
But that is true.
You know what, Doug? We should have Tina on it. You need to go. We need Tina. She seems to remember more things.
But she should be on for the she should be on for the horror episode.
She probably would, but no.
But actually, she said after watching this movie again, she said, definitely the best part of the movie was Robin Williams. But
not the kiss?
Well, that was the original, but on this rewatch.
Ah, okay.
But I have to say, I tend to agree with my wife. Robin Williams was the best part of this movie. I guess I had rose-colored glasses on this. This was my favorite Kenneth Branagh film for a while, mostly because I distinctly remember the very ending of the movie and how the killer is dispatched, let's say. That was a very vivid memory to me because I thought it was so awesome when I saw it as a teenager. But the story was just kind of okay. Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson, they're doing their best with the material they got, but I don't know. This time around, it didn't grab me as much as it did back when I saw it as a teenager. I don't know. I guess I'm not as big a Kenneth Branagh fan as I thought I was. I guess his best work is with Shakespeare. To me,
very
anyway.
True. I like parts of this film. I thought the first half was excellent. When he's investigating and learning things and that kind of stuff, I really liked it. I started losing interest when they started doing flashbacks. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what the? It took me a few seconds to figure out what the hell was going on. I'm like, oh, okay. So this is, I don't care. I started losing interest very quickly because I didn't enjoy that part. The part I liked was the now part. I thought that was really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. But when they went back, I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to know any of these people. I don't enjoy any of these people here. Let's get back to the present. Then we go back to the present. I was all in again. I was like, I'm enjoying this. Then we go back. I'm like, I've spent some more time here. I don't like these people. I really don't. And you know, I have to agree with you. Parts of this film I think are great. Parts of this film I think are, could be better.
It's when the film has some life to it. Like I thought Robin Williams scenes, he brought some life to it. The chase scene where the guy brings the glove and Kenneth Branagh realizes, you gave me the left glove. That's what we already have. And then chases after. I liked stuff like that. But yeah, like you said, the flashbacks just kind of tedious after a while.
That was my biggest problem. I'm like, I think there's a great story here if we just stayed in the present and literally just kept it on the present level. I think there was more depth there and things like that. But I like the whole part. I thought Thompson is a much better actor than Branagh and shows it here. I've never been a big fan of Branagh's acting. I find it kind of bland. But I think Thompson shows the depth she's going to bring later as she gets older. And I think she still brings it today. So then again, it's watchable, but it just doesn't do a lot for me.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but I kind of agree.
I got nothing really bad to say about her good. I just thought it was meh. The parts I wanted were present. They were good. The dialogue was good. It was quick repartee, and then it just falls apart in those flashbacks. Derek Jacobi, I thought, was wonderful. I think he plays a really good part. I think he does not get enough credit in this film, nor has enough to do at times. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish he had a little bit more to do. And why does he never have girls back to his apartment? Like, really? I think that's a good running joke that keeps coming back.
But I do have to ask, what did you think of the final dispatch of the killer?
That was good.
An image that stuck with me.
Yes. The end of the film was excellent. There's nothing wrong. It's just it takes too long. I was dragging, I thought, by the end. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, give me what's my MacGuffin? Let's give it to me. I'm ready. Again, we're going back to timing here. This film does not have timing in any way. It just sort of drops at the end. You're like, oh, okay, let's get it done. Oh, okay, I guess we're getting this done now. Let's do it.
Nice.
And I think that's it for episode 292, unless anybody has any final thoughts.
If they make it,
we'll watch it. Except for Daniel, who doesn't have time. Yeah.